Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We try to bring you the area congresspeople as often as we can. And it's our first time to talk on air with Congressman Huey Minnit out there in Bucks County, Brian Fitzpatrick here on Talk Radio 1210. Congressman, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, Dom. Thanks for having me on. And I look forward to meeting you in person at some point. I know you have a relationship with my family, and they're big fans, to say the least.
Well, thank you. Thanks. I am a big fan of Mike. So let me ask, overall, what's your take? You have experience vis-a-vis Mike over the years, I'm sure, talking about what it would be like in Washington. But what's your experience so far?
Well, it's been very hectic. You know, a lot of people, including him, joke with me a lot that I picked some time to be a freshman member of Congress in a very tumultuous time in our nation's history. I'm coming at this, as you know, Dom, from a very different background. I have not been in politics. I've spent the past 14 years as an FBI agent. In fact, the majority of that time in the political corruption unit arresting politicians. So to say it's a massive paradigm shift would be an understatement.
Well, that's a good credential to have given the atmosphere of what's going on. So let me go through a couple of key votes. One, you were a no vote on what MacArthur, what they crafted in the House around the big health care thing, and then the Senate right now coming back. What objection, what's the principal one, or are there more than one objections to what the House did?
There were many objections, Dom. First and foremost, I think all of us agree that our healthcare system is broken and desperately needs to be fixed. We have one shot to get this right. And we were asked, Dom, to vote on a bill that we had 17 days to digest, a bill that had not been scored by the CBO, a bill that was justifiably supported by less than a quarter of the American people, including less than half of Republicans. There was a lot in it that I objected to. And a lot of it, if you want to know the genesis of much of my objection, you can go back to the very first bill I introduced on the floor of the House of Representatives, which was a massive government reform package. One of those components, and there are many of them, was the concept of single-issue legislation. Because when you try these omnibus bills, particularly on something like health care, which affects between one-fifth and one-sixth of our economy and affects 100% of the American people, and you try to stuff all sorts of special interest provisions in them, Dom, it's dishonest legislation. That's the reality of it. And it's my job to push back on that when I see it.
That's the objection, then, that there are other things in this bill. I mean, is there a philosophical objection to the core of this bill, which you were sent there, I think, to repeal and replace, or repeal to start with?
Well, we need a healthcare system that works. We can throw whatever labels around we want. Yeah, it was one of many objections, Don. I objected to the process, and I objected to much of the content of it.
Can you give me one thing? I'm trying to determine.
Sure. Yeah. So within probably about 30 pages of each other in the bill, I'll just give you one example.
Sure.
They reset the amount that you can charge older Americans, not seniors, because seniors are covered under Medicare, but those generally in the ages of 55 to 64. From three times the amount you can charge a young, healthy adult to five times. And within that same bill, they eliminate the $500,000 cap on deductibility of CEO salaries. So right off the bat, Tom, you're whacking the older people, and you're benefiting people that don't need to be benefited. So that's just one example. I mean, I brought up the opioid issue, which is something that I campaigned on. It's a promise that I made. I looked into the eyes of so many people in Bucks and Montgomery counties, particularly in Lower Bucks County, the Levittown area where I come from in Bristol, where, Dom, I can't even begin to describe the level of significance and the level of devastation that that problem is causing. And we can ignore it. We can choose to say it's somebody else's problem, but that's not responsible.
So you mean more money? There's not enough money in this bill.
Well, that's a big part. I mean, legislation and funding. And right. I'm not a big fan of government spending programs, Dom, but there are certain instances, and this is one of them, where this is an investment, that every dollar you spend in prevention, you save $10 in the criminal justice system, you save $20 in the healthcare system. That is a fact. And I'm happy to discuss that in more detail with anybody who wants, but that's the choice we have. You know, this is a problem that has gotten completely out of control, and we can take a leadership role on it, or we can. If we can't, we're going to pay the price for it.
All right. Now, an issue that is somewhat smaller than that, but a good barometer. On Friday, 24 GOP congressmen crossed party lines to continue the Obama policy, congressman, in the military around transgendered surgeries, hormone treatments, and all those things. And look, we both have respect for the military, but in the light of all this healthcare stuff we're talking about, you were one of the guys that voted against the Republican amendment and with the Democrats to carry the day and keep this policy.
Well, I saw the article that was posted yesterday, which was wildly inaccurate. So
okay.
One of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you today, Dom, was I thought it was important to let your listeners know the details of that amendment, because this amendment was voted down at the request of the administration, at the request of the Pentagon, at the request of Secretary Jim Mattis. And that's important for everybody to know.
Okay, but let me just stop you right there. Mattis, albeit given how sterling he is in many things, is suspect on this to a lot of people.
Well, of course he is. But, you know, anyone, let me just, it's important to walk from the beginning of this to give you
sure.
the whole story here, because anyone that thinks that they're more qualified on issues of military readiness than Jim Mattis, I'd like to meet them. So the Hartzler Amendment to the NDAA, which is what we're talking about here, was not even supposed to come up for a vote. It originally called for the discharge of all transgender service members. That was the original version. That was
How do you feel about that?
Well, we're going to get to that in a second.
Okay.
That was ruled by committee as being out of order. It was then changed to the removal of health benefits, and it somehow made it to the floor over the objection, by the way, the committee chair. And as you pointed out earlier, Dom, this policy was implemented as an internal military policy change by Ash Carter under the Obama administration. So enter Secretary Mattis, who put a freeze on the program. It is currently he is currently engaged in a six-month review on the effect of this program on military readiness. And according to RAND, there's several thousand, possibly close to 10,000 such individuals, some of whom are currently deployed overseas. So what this came down to is whether Congress should usurp the authority of Secretary Mattis over his objection on an issue pertaining to military readiness. And the highest ranking military member who's serving in Congress, who's a Republican, General Jack Bergman, voted to respect the wishes of General Mattis. Brian Mast, my Republican colleague, who's a double amputee from injury sustained while he was serving in Iraq, voted to respect the wishes of General Mattis. Darrell Issa, Bill Schuster, some pretty conservative members, Dom. And there's not a single one of us that believe that DOD should spend a dime on gender transition surgeries. That's not what this is about. This is about respecting the wishes of our Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis, on issues of military readiness. Period.
Well, with all due respect, I hear that. I'm glad you put context, but I would tell you that I think on this, it's indefensible, and most people that I know agree with that, that it is indefensible, despite what Mattis says here. We're talking $130,000 per transition surgery. You said it could be up to 10,000 people. I guess the argument, pulling them out and doing all kinds of things. But how would that help military readiness? And isn't it suspect that President Obama is the one that forced this in without congressional approval?
Absolutely, but the NDAA says nothing about transgender persons. The Trump administration can keep or change the current policy at its discretion. Secretary Mattis and the White House urged us not to adopt the Hartzler Amendment. That's an important thing for everybody to realize. So, you know, it goes far beyond what the talking points have been on this. And it comes down to, do we want General Mattis, do we want to give him the time to conduct his six-month review on, and clearly, Dom, you can understand that even though we may disagree with the policy to begin with, to make a knee-jerk reaction, overnight change, which this amendment called for, could possibly impact military operations, including overseas deployments. And who better than General Mattis to make that decision on behalf of our military? I trust him implicitly. He's a phenomenal Secretary of Defense. And quite frankly, Dom, he knows better than you, me, or anybody else on issues of military readiness. So why would we as a Congress cast an affirmative vote, because this was an amendment. There was no language on transgender service in the NDAA. This was an affirmative amendment to introduce this concept to the NDAA and essentially tie General Mattis's hands against his wishes. That's what this was.
Well, because I think you can, my role as a congressman, I can't speak for you, I get it, is to defer to some of this, but I think you got to make your own judgment. And despite that with Mattis, I think on this that he's bought into this period of time to do this, because I guess it's a hot potato or something like that. I cannot see in a universe of possibilities how this is what your constituents would want you to do. But
well, can you understand this, though, Dom, that
yes.
given that there are people currently serving
right.
that fall into this category,
mm-hmm.
that just overnight, in a knee-jerk reaction, removing them from the military could cause readiness issues?
Well, I think there's much bigger issues here than readiness issues. Maybe I'm taking it a bridge too far, and I hear what you were zoning in on, but I think this is a broader thing. I think President Obama and others were using this as a wedge issue on transgender, but you think Mattis needs 6 months to make that determination?
That's what he's asking.
He's been
for?
In office, though. I'm sorry, Congressman, but he's been in office for 6 months.
That's what he's asked for, and he's he's been in the process of reviewing this. I don't know when he started.
Okay.
All he's asked for, Dom, is time to make a military readiness assessment as it pertains to this issue. Who are we to question him? I think we all agree he was a phenomenal pick. The military respects
yes.
him immensely. Congress respects him immensely on both sides of the aisle, quite frankly. All he's asking for is time to assess the effect that this would have on current deployments, and why would we not give him that? And again, Dom, I think it's important to note, and I don't want to speak for my colleagues. You can ask them individually.
Sure.
I don't believe there's a single one of us that support DOD funds for gender reassignment surgeries. That's not what this was about. And this is where it comes down to leadership. Quite frankly, Dom, there's a lot of votes and that we have taken and that we will continue to take where the messaging is terrible. The top-line messaging, as we see with this, is terrible. But each one of us have to make a decision. Are we going to succumb to the bad communications that might result, or are we going to stand up and do the right thing? This is the perfect example. The messaging clearly is bad on it, but this is the Secretary of Defense asking us to do something, and I'm not going to question him or military professionals on issues of military readiness. Now, if this were to carry on for an extended period of time, then we need to revisit it.
How long will you give him?
Well, we'll give him the amount of time he's asked for.
Okay. All right. That I still am on the other side, but I hear you out. I'm very glad you came on to say that. One other area, I know that opiates, and you're exactly right, we talk about this quite frequently in Bucks County's an epicenter. The other thing you've been vigilant about is the water issues and attaching them or doing stuff around that. Just give listeners a sense of the water contamination issues, I guess, and what you're doing on it.
Yeah, there have been, thousands of both private and public wells that have been contaminated by the Naval Air Station.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a shame, Dom, because, it's really impacted Warminster and Warwick in my district, Horsham in Brendan Boyle's district, and a piece of Pat Meehan's district, which is why the three of us have sort of teamed up it's really about protecting these folks. They're concerned about the level of PFAS and PFOA that was contaminating the freshwater supply due to the firefighter foams that were used back in the 70s and 80s. And all they're asking for, the military's already accepted responsibility. What they're asking for is the remediation for testing so that people can know exactly what level of contamination they were exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a cost issue, because virtually everybody in that part of our community has been now forced to connect to the North Wales water supply, which comes at an increased cost to them due to no fault of their own. So that's really what it boils down
to. Okay, I know that you're on that. Hey, please make us a regular on your tour. I enjoyed this a lot today, and I'm very glad you came on, particularly around this transgender thing, to give some context.
You got it, Tom.
Thank you. Thanks, Congressman.
Take care, sir.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.